This episode of Earl Grey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek FM at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org.
Hi, this is Denise Crosby. I play Tasha Yar on Star Trek The Next Generation, and you're listening to Trek FM.
T.O. Grey Hot.
Welcome, listeners, to another cup of Earl Grey. I'm your host, Amy Nelson, and we have a full cup of tea today. Everyone's in the house, so let's say our hellos. Joe Keegan.
Hi, the cup is so full, it's brimming over. It's one of those big giant mugs you get for your dad when you're young. And it's like, it would hold like 10 normal cups of tea. So yes, I'm well, Amy. The weather's very changeable here. It's
very
good times.
Very good. We also have Rhea Papagiorgio. Rhea, welcome.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, everybody. Glad to see your smiling faces today.
Very good. And Pierre LaRocco. Pierre, hello.
Hello, hello. I just thought when you were saying a big cup of Earl Grey tea, I was just thought that the one thing we miss from Captain Picard Day is a nice homemade mug of number one captain.
That's right. The homemade mugs, of course. They do have pottery on the Enterprise D, so. And we have Kevin Scarf. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, hello. Can you get Earl Grey tea iced? He always gets it hot, but a nice iced Earl Grey tea might go down well.
Yes, because it is very warm this summer.
I agree.
Can I make an admission? I have tried to like Earl Grey tea in the past. Yeah. I just can't. It's not. It's the oil of bergamot or bergamot, however you say it.
It's quite floral.
Yes. No.
Yeah, I too have tried it and prefer other teas as well.
I like it.
I'd also like to add that when I was picking colors for my office, I knew I wanted to go with some sort of gray, and I found a color called Earl Grey.
Wow. Did you use it?
Oh, of course I did.
Nice. Well, listeners, we have some Babel Conference feedback from Earl Grey episode 330, where we talked about Data's hobbies. So, Joe, why don't you start us off?
Sure. Michael Bentley says, it sounds like an interesting one. In addition to Data's painting talents, I love the scene where he's simultaneously listening to Mozart's Jupiter Symphony in C major, Bach's Brandenburg Concerto No. 3, Beethoven's 9th Symphony, 2nd Movement, Molto Vivace, and La Donna e Mobile from Verdi's Rigoletto. Thanks, Michael. I'm glad I've got a musical background because I just managed to say all of that.
I know. When I was like, okay, who's going to read this? I'm like, Joe has to read it.
Yeah. I'm sure that's La Donna e Mobile. Mobile. Mobile,
so.
Maybe.
La Donna e Mobile.
Thanks. Yeah.
And you have to use your hands too.
No.
From Verdi's Rigoletto.
Sure. I'm not doing that either, Rhea, but okay. Michael, good point. That's a favourite scene of mine, the fact that the ability to be able to do that, kind of listen to or do multiple things, like the ultimate in multitasking, would be truly awesome. So thank you.
I think it would be confusing. I listen to a quiz show, and one of the games they play occasionally is put two songs together, and they're going through your head at the same time, and trying to listen to either melody is impossible when you've got both going on at the same time. So good on Data.
Yeah. Well, Stephen Ringline comments, Data, the moment you decided to stop imitating other actors and create your own interpretation, you were already one step closer to understanding humanity. And that was Picard in Season 4's episode Devil's Due about Data modifying the acting technique called the Method for his own uses. We've seen Data get closer step by step through his hobbies with Picard as his mentor encouraging him. Great episode. Well, thank you, Stephen. That's a great point. And I think that holds true for human beings or carbon-based units as well, that you can imitate others and how they create their art. But the moment you start, modifying it and doing it your own way, then you've become a true artist.
We did get a really good discussion through that episode from a topic that we weren't sure was going to work when we started. So I'm really happy that the listeners really enjoyed it and liked listening to what we had to say about that subject.
All right. We also got an email. So thank you. Kevin, why don't you read that for us?
Sure. It's from Christian in Long Beach, California. And the subject is catching up. He says, "Hi, Trekkies. I've been playing catch-up. Yesterday, I listened to the episode on Jack Crusher. One of my thoughts on why Beverly never moved on? When my mom divorced my dad, she didn't date until us three kids were of an age that she could give her attention to someone else. Beverly was a full-time single parent and a doctor, so this makes sense that she would give her all there." He says, "I love that you have read Trek books. As you know, I have a huge collection of them. I find that if I read one chapter before I go to bed of whatever book I'm reading, I'm happy, especially in the midst of the school year. Also, we don't have a TV in the bedroom. The only screen allowed is my Kindle. The three new hosts were a major surprise to me and a wonderful surprise. I love their guest episodes and can't wait for more time with them." And that's from Christian Jewell, or Alonzo, as you may know me in the Babel Conference, he says. Thanks, Christian. That's a great email, and we appreciate your listening. And thanks.
I can't believe who doesn't have a TV in their bedroom.
I don't.
Or do you know? I couldn't live without my TV in my bedroom.
I have one TV in the house, in the living room, and that's it.
Oh no! I fall asleep to Star Trek
and
all the
huge time. Yeah, I do the same thing, mm-hmm. Joe. Fall asleep to Star Trek, but TV in my bedroom is too big and it's too bright. So I'm waiting for it to break.
Okay.
When we moved houses, we were going to try to do that, and that lasted about all of, 2 days.
Oh.
I don't have a TV in my bedroom, but I do have an iPad, and I can watch anything on that, so.
I'm thinking of getting a projector and just projecting on the wall in my bedroom.
Do it. Get blackout blinds as well.
Yeah. I have those, yeah.
For today, we are going to focus on memorable goodbyes, and in part because your hosts of Earl Grey will be leaving the network. I just wanted to thank Trek FM for the many, many years that I've had hosting Earl Grey. Just a little walk down memory lane. I first joined in November of 2016, and our first episode dropped December 6th, and that was the exact 20th anniversary of Star Trek First Contact. And that's with the hosts Richard Marquez and Lee Hutchinson. And we wanted to celebrate First Contact because many people say it is the best of the TNG movies. And we had a great time introducing ourselves and talking about that movie. And Lee then left us and we picked up Justin Ozer, who had a nice good run with us on Earl Grey. And then we had Richard leave Earl Grey, and that's when we picked up Joe Keegan. And yay! And then Justin left us and we picked up the wonderful Rhea, Pierre, and Kevin. That has been the best part of Earl Grey is hosting with these amazing people, building friendships, and getting to know them on a more personal level, including our love for Star Trek. The best part of being on Trek FM is getting to meet so many wonderful people, the listeners and the other hosts of the other shows. Like, that has been truly the best experience. It's been 3.5 years and 179 episodes that I have been on-ish, give or take. So it's been a nice long run, but my time is now closing with Trek FM. And I just truly wanted to thank everyone for supporting us and commenting and having great discussions on what is my favorite show, The Next Generation.
Amy, you've actually exceeded the run of The Next Generation here on Earl Grey.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it wasn't a full 7 years, but I think number of episodes, I think you're right.
Yes, so this is my last episode too. I can't be quite specific about how many, but it's just over the year that I've been podcasting with. It was initially Justin and Amy, and then Justin left, and it was just Amy and I. And then we had this really, really, we thought it was a good idea at the time. Turns out we brought on a bunch of really horrible, horrible people. I'm kidding. Yeah, like you said, Amy, it's really good getting to know people more through your love of Star Trek. And even though we're all really very distant, and we only ever catch up in person maybe once a year if we're lucky, it's a really positive experience doing this podcast. And it makes you think more about why you like something. And it reinforces why you like it, because it brings out the details and it makes you deal with other people's opinions of things.
Rhea?
Yeah, I'm really indebted to Trek FM and the Babel Conference. You know, I've been a lifelong Star Trek fan, but it wasn't until I discovered podcasts and then the Babel Conference where I discovered the whole Star Trek fan community. And thanks to, ironically enough, Amy and Joe, I ended up going to STLV last year and got to meet people in person that I'd interacted with on the Babel Conference. And it really has changed my life, you know, for the better or worse, remains to be seen. No, definitely for the better, aside from the bank account. I've fallen in love with Star Trek fans. And as much as I love Star Trek and the whole Star Trek universe, the fans are just amazing. I mean, I can't say enough good things about Star Trek fans, and to have a forum like the Babel Conference and Trek FM where everyone gets to interact in such a warm and open and loving environment, really. You know, my stint here on Earl Grey has been very brief, and, you know, I've managed to maybe stir up a little bit while I was here, but Star Trek fans, you know, instead of jumping on me and criticizing me and, you know, shunning me and the stuff that happens in society these days, you all kind of calmly, rationally, lovingly explained to me, you know, what I didn't understand. And I think that is at the essence of what makes Star Trek fans so wonderful and the Babel Conference, you know, participants so wonderful. And I thank you all for that. And yeah.
Pierre?
Around 5 or 6 years ago, I guess, I found my old Playmates Star Trek toys, and I started watching Star Trek again. And then from there, I just wanted to explore more. And that's when I found Trek FM. I remember the first episode I listened to was The Orb. It was a character study of Garak. And then I just branched out and started listening to most of the other series and shows, too. Being on Earl Grey's, it's just so wonderful. You know, you get to meet such great people and get to share things that you really enjoy, as well as just having the same kind of values and morals as other people and kind of being able to share that and support each other. So I really enjoyed my time in the Babel Conference and on Trek FM. And thank you, everyone, for listening.
I was happy to be a passive listener for the last couple of years until last summer when I decided I was going to go to STLV for the very first time. And somebody who is in this chat right now posted that there was going to be a dinner. And if you wanted to have dinner with people who are Trek FM listeners and hosts, to let her know, and we'd be put on the list. And I said, you know, I don't know anybody there. Let's see what happens. And here we are almost a year later. And now I've been a Trek FM host. And so thank you, Amy, for that. It's been a wonderful, wonderful experience. even podcasting with Joe has been pretty good.
Been highly of your life, Canadian.
That's true. That's true. So, and like Rhea says, Star Trek fans are good people, and having this place to talk about something I love in a time when people are talking about other things and the world is going crazy, this has been a very lovely respite, and I look forward to it every time I'm on the show. So thank you to Trek FM for that.
So keeping with the theme of our goodbyes, we are going to do a little round robin and choose memorable goodbyes in The Next Generation. So we haven't shared our picks. I'm very excited to see what we have. So Kevin, I'd like to start with you. What's one memorable goodbye that you have for Next Gen?
I'm going to pick one that's a little bit off the wall, because it turned out the goodbye wasn't necessary. And that was the goodbye to Geordi in the episode The Next Phase. Geordi and Ro were in that transporter accident and were out of phase with reality and nobody could see them. And Data planned a wake for both of them, but really mostly for Geordi. And so the ability to go to your own wake is probably a little unnerving, but Geordi loved what was put together for him. Let's have a big party and remember all the good things that that he has experienced with his friends and fellow crewmates on the Enterprise. So when we started thinking about goodbyes, I'm like, that it's a little off the wall because it wasn't actually necessary, but it was a fantastic goodbye, and I only hope that my goodbye is half as fun as Geordi's was.
Oh my gosh, that is a great pick. I absolutely love it. And yes, we had a wonderful service wake, as you said, and we got to sort of remember all the fun things that Geordi did and, you know, his relationship with how Data is interpreting it.
And there was that lovely discussion between Data and Worf when Data was asking for assistance in planning things, and Worf's take on the goodbye and how happy he was. And I think that informed Data's choice of having this sort of New Orleans style jazz party for the goodbye, because it wasn't a I'm sad, I'm going to miss him. It's a let's celebrate who Geordi is and what we've done together.
Yeah, a celebration of life, definitely. That's a good way to go. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of inspiring too, because I mean, I'm going to have a full all out funeral, you know, and y'all better be there and y'all better be sad. But the party afterwards, yeah, I like the jazz band idea too. I love Greek music and dancing, and yeah.
I would like the Portals theme played from Avengers Endgame. Now at the end, where they're having the big battle with Thanos, I want that music played initially. And then at the wake, I would like some kind of Cuban jazz music.
I like it. I'll be there.
With mojitos.
Let's start planning. Ooh, yeah.
Let's not start planning. No.
We will all wear scants, Joe.
Nice. Thank you.
Can I send you my measurements, Joe?
I have been asked.
Make me the scant that I'll wear to your funeral.
I have been asked that, and it's stressful just making it for yourself, never mind having to make it for other people. So no.
I didn't really think of that episode at all in goodbyes, but I think I said it before with Tasha Yar's funeral. It's always neat to see the way Starfleet remembers the people who have passed, and it was another chance to see that, and chance to see how they remember their loved ones, how they remember their colleagues, and you know, we've talked before about how Starfleet's a dangerous job, and we don't always see the realities of that danger all the time. I think that was an excellent episode, and I remember thinking how neat it was to really see those nuances of life in the 24th century.
And we should do some Geordi-style Next Phase goodbyes where we're still alive and just have a big party that everyone comes to. And once this pandemic's over, it'd be a good excuse to get together.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
That's just a party, though. That's not like a big goodbye. wake. It's just an excuse.
Well, you can still say nice things about me.
That's so, what she wants.
So my birthday was last week, and because of social distancing, I only had a couple of friends over. But one of my other friends organized this sort of write-in campaign, and they got the biggest, most gigantic birthday card they could find at the card shop, and it opened to a giant birthday cake. And a friend went and drove around for miles and miles and got 35 of my best friends to sign it. I'm a little sad because I didn't get to see them. He did. But to know that many people went out of their way to do that for me was pretty amazing. So it happens
in awesome.
Your life sometimes.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a goodbye. It was a happy birthday.
It was a celebration of life.
It yeah. was. While I'm still living, it was good.
Yay.
I'm surprised they needed such a big card.
Yeah.
You're terrible.
Yeah. We could all sign a postage stamp for Joe, mail it to him.
You guys.
He would have tried to get you to sign it, Joe, but he knew that you probably couldn't even write. So.
Yep.
True. I just scroll an X with a big lump of coal. Yeah. That's true.
All right, Rhea, give us one of your picks.
Okay. So, my first pick, and this was I was actually, when I started looking into this, surprised how many goodbyes there were to pick, and there were so many good ones, so it was a little tough to narrow down. But I picked Admiral Jarek from The Defector, and played by the wonderful James Sloyan. I love this episode, and not just because Tom Alack is in it, who's played by Andreas Katsoulas, who's Greek, but in this episode, Admiral Jarek is the Romulan who basically thinks he has evidence of Romulan incursion into the neutral zone and blah, 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 blah. And he ends up defecting over to the Enterprise. And I mean, he's trying to do the right thing. And in the end, we realize that he's been set up. And so he's left his home. He's left his family. He's been disgraced as a traitor. He's left everything because he thought he was doing the right thing. And at the end of the episode, when he's standing on the bridge and Tom Alack smugly reveals the "I gotcha," Jarek stands there and he says, "I did it for nothing. My home, my family, for nothing." And I kind of see that as his goodbye right there. In the next scene, they find him dead in his quarters. He'd committed suicide. But just kind of that admission of, you know, throwing everything that he held of value in his life away for nothing. He did have a farewell letter that he'd written to his family, but even in the episode, you know, they say that, well, I think Data says that they won't even be able to deliver it. But Picard says that maybe if there are other Romulans that show the courage of Admiral Jarek, that, you know, there might be a day of peace when they can deliver that letter. But I thought that was a pretty powerful goodbye.
That is. And I mean, although he was manipulated, he was doing what he thought was right and standing up, and really, what a way to go, you know, to leave everything. And that's, it's sort of a goodbye on so many levels, because you have him leaving his family, you have him leaving his country, if you will, his, you know, sort of everything to stand up for what is right and doing what he thinks is best for, you know, his country. That's not the right word. What am I trying to say? Yeah, his people. Yeah. So that is a great pick, Rhea.
I'd forgotten that he committed suicide at the end. That makes it even darker. Now that everything he's worked for has been ultimately futile. And he's betrayed his people. He's thought he's had these lofty goals, but the realization that he's been completely manipulated into the situation means he can't continue. It's horrible. Yeah, good pick. Dark.
On a lighter note out of that, I wonder if during the Romulan Star incident, if Picard was able to get to his family to give them the note.
I would hope so. And then we see later on in the greater Star Trek timeline that the Federation and the Romulans have, you know, an alliance even in the Dominion Wars. So, you know, I would I would hope that his name was eventually cleared.
Yeah, I'd like to think that his letter got to his family. All right, Pierre, give us your first pick.
So my first pick is the goodbye from the episode Half a Life with Timmonson. He's a famous scientist, so well-respected scientist from his world. His world's in danger because of a collapsing star. He's on the forefront of trying to fix it, and then he has a birthday, and he gets to an age where on his planet of Kalon 2, they have a ceremonial suicide, so they don't grow old and burden their children. And he decides that he must go through with it. His line is, because he's also fallen in love with Roxana Troy. His line is that alive, I'm a greater threat to my world than a dying sun. He believes that if he doesn't go through with this, others won't either, and that will create undue hardship on his world and their economy and such, and civilizational collapse.
Interesting pick, Pierre. That was also my first pick. So, good one. And we've spoken about this before on Earl Grey, about Loaxana and how she deals with this society's decision to basically kill you or make you commit ritual suicide when you reach 60 years old. I think the goodbye part that I see in the episode is right at the end, and he's prepared to beam down alone. And you think, oh, Loaxana's just abandoned him because she can't deal with the fact that he's going to go away and commit suicide. But next thing, he comes through into the transporter room, or Loaxana comes into the transporter room and says, it is the custom for your loved ones to join you at this resolution, is it not? And she's like, okay, she doesn't want to do it, but she has to do it because she loves this man and she wants to be beside him when he does. Which is quite powerful. So it's kind of a goodbye for him. We know we're not going to see him again, but it's also the end of the episode, so we're saying goodbye to Loaxana. And throughout all the times we've spoken about Loaxana on Earl Grey, there's a depth to the character that has made me really, really appreciate her even more, rather than initially seeing her as this kind of frivolous nuisance that comes on to annoy the crew. There's a depth to her that I really like.
Yeah, and I think this is another example where Timmonson commits suicide to do the right thing, you know, where he says that if he doesn't, he's a threat to his people, and he doesn't want to do it. He falls in love with Loaxana, but I guess that self-sacrifice of giving up his life to do what's right by his people.
This was such a great episode for Loaxana. It was one of the first times that we saw that there could be more to that character than just flighty socialite, and it changed a lot of people's opinions about her. I think she was a character that was very polarizing at the beginning, and some people hated to see her arrive, but once we got this episode and where she ended up on Deep Space Nine, she became a much more vulnerable, well-rounded, full character. Yeah, this is a lovely choice, and this is a very emotional goodbye.
Yeah, I think we see Loaxana saying her goodbyes to Timmonson. I think that's, for me, the one that's memorable. I mean, yes, we do say goodbye to Timmonson, and he does have, sort of like Kevin brought up with Geordi's wake, like we have this resolution, a celebration of life, if you will. But we see Loaxana, even though she disagrees with this tradition, she is going to support Timmonson and show her love and have a proper goodbye and not end on a negative note. You know, she's going down and will support him. So that's a great pick. Thanks, Pierre. Joe?
Well, Pierre stole it. So
yes, he did.
I'm going to have to go to my second pick. And that is we've spoken about this on Earl Grey before, but it's saying goodbye to Lal. Yes, it's heartbreaking. In the episode, or what was the episode called? The Offspring. Yeah. So Data creates this android daughter, who ultimately starts to break down. Her positronic network isn't as advanced as Data's, and she dies, essentially. The goodbye part of it for me was just before she died, when Haftel, the cyberneticist guy that's on board that's helping Data, comes out into the corridor. Geordi, Troy, and Wesley are there, and he says, "She won't survive much longer. There was nothing anyone could have done. We'd repolarize one pathway and another one would collapse, and then another." His hands were moving faster than I could see, trying to stay ahead of each breakdown. He refused to give up. He was remarkable. It just wasn't meant to be. And I'm like, oh, it's heartbreaking, knowing that Data was doing his best to save his daughter. And that's a reason why doctors aren't allowed to operate on their family, because you couldn't mentally cope with that. Data could, because he lacked emotions. But then there's the actual goodbye in the next scene, where Data asks her, "How do you feel, Lal?" And she says, "I love you, father." It's very sad. And she says, Data says, "I wish I could feel it with you." And Lal replies, "I will feel it for both of us. Thank you for my life. Flirting, laughter, painting, family, female, human."
I'm so glad you chose that, because I was debating, am I going to be mentioning that? So I'm glad that you picked it. That is definitely one of the memorable ones. And her goodbye to Data, I mean, it's just brings a tear.
Why I feel myself time. Getting upset about a toaster breaking down. Why? I hate you guys. I've actually got tears in my eyes. I'm such.
While you were reading it, I was
such
like,
a loser. Such a loser.
Well, what that makes me think of that, I mean, Data got that scene where Lal got to say goodbye. So he had, I mean, Lal could have died, you know, finger quotes, died, malfunction, whatever, in the surgery. But she didn't. And so Data, as a father, got that moment with his dying child. And what that makes me think of is, like, how many parents would give anything for that moment? You know, they lose their child in a car accident or somewhere, and they're not there. I could imagine for parents that episode has got to be just gut-wrenching. They'd probably give anything for that, you know, thank you for my life scene.
Yeah, to have a goodbye. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's such a powerful episode. It's just the whole arc with Data wanting to create another life, and Law coming to existence, and then Law being taken away. I mean, it seems relatively quickly. It could have been months, because we never get real time continuity with Star Trek. But just that the goodbye, there's kind of two goodbyes, right? There's the one time before when the Admiral's still there, and then after, and it's just it's really emotional. It's really done well. And it really goes towards, like, when we were talking about Data's hobbies, like he's growing towards humanity and understanding what humanity is about.
We're all just sort of sitting here holding back tears. I mean, this really is the episode that shows that Data is as human as he can be at this point, right? To have to say goodbye to a child is, it's got to be the most heart-wrenching thing ever. I don't know what else there is to say. It's a very good choice and heartbreaking all at the same time.
And how about that last scene on the bridge where Data's back at his post, business as usual, and everyone else is heartbroken for him and he's moving on.
I like what he says, though. Captain Picard says, "The crew is saddened by your loss, Mr. Data." And Data says, "I thank you for your sympathy, but she is here. Her presence so enriched my life that I could not allow her to pass into oblivion, so I incorporated her programs back into my own. I have transferred her memories to me." like, okay, so she's not really dead, kind of, in a way.
And then again, I think of parents who have lost a child, and I wonder if that even would anger them a little about, oh, you know, how come Day-Day gets to keep his child's memories and I can't? Mm. I would love to hear a parent's perspective on that episode.
You know, what's interesting is I knew probably that this episode would be brought up here. And I was like, how cool would that have been to have Bruce Maddox come back and be the one working with Data? You know, because he started sort of the whole thing in the cybernetics project and stuff like that. I don't know. Just thought it would have been a fun callback to Measure of a Man.
Yeah, I agree.
He's just a one-off character. We'll never see him again.
Right. Okay, so for my pick, I didn't want to focus on death, but more thanks, guys, for that. But if listeners have listened to any of the Earl Greys, one of my favorite episodes is, oh, now I just forgot the name of it.
But it's your favorite.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorite episodes is Loud as a Whisper. And for this goodbye, I chose to highlight Reva and Troy. And so as a counselor, you want people to be productive and effective in the real world and to go out and do their thing successfully. And I think this episode really highlights a successful goodbye for one of Troy's patients, and I use the air quotes, because Reva has lost his course. So he is dealing with an amazing and very emotional loss for three of his friends that make up his chorus. But he has the role as an arbitrator to go down to these warring factions and help them to come to a compromise. And he's just so distraught. And the episode really highlights a lot of what Troy does to help him be successful. And she even goes so far, it's like, well, I will try. If you're not willing to go down, I will go down and try my hand to get these warring factions together. And through sort of, I think, his processing his loss and realizing his purpose, that he makes the decision to go down. And, you know, I think with their goodbye, he, you know, realizes that Troy is right. You want to turn a disadvantage into an advantage, which is sort of my motto in life because of this episode. And, you know, says his goodbye. And I think, you know, as a counselor, you're just very happy to see someone functioning and doing well and being productive and moving on through this great tragedy. So I really like their goodbye, Reva and Troy, in Loud as a Whisper.
It's not one that occurred to me to think about, but you're quite right. I suppose any time we have a character that's a one-off character that we'll ever see again, you can count it as a goodbye, but that's a bit more poignant because there was something between him and Troy. And it was quite a powerful episode because obviously he had his... What did you call it? His chorus. Yeah. Good pick, Amy.
Yeah, sort of out of the box.
Yeah, a goodbye, good luck, Godspeed. Yeah.
Yeah, good send-off. I mean, it's sort of what I feel like every year at graduation when I say goodbye to my high school students. You were with me for a time. I taught you the math. Now go be productive in life.
Never use half of it again.
Go, be free, do calculus.
That's right.
No, that's a great different way to look at it, to look at a goodbye. I struggled when we were going through this to be like, where I was like, there aren't that many goodbyes. I thought of my first pick right away, and then the rest of them I kind of struggled with, but yeah, that's a great way of looking at it.
Well, Pierre, for yours, I thought, oh, that would be easy because I know that you like Klingons and I know you like Worf. And so I was thinking that you might, and hopefully I don't overspeak, but choose the goodbye where Worf becomes discommodated from the Klingon Empire.
Didn't even think of that.
I mean,
it didn't even cross my mind.
That goodbye that goodbye is harsh, you know, without everyone on the Klingon Council, like, crossing their arms and turning their back on him. Like, that's a severe goodbye.
Yeah, that didn't even cross my mind.
See how I snuck that one in? Because I had quite a few.
I noticed that.
You're allowed. It's the last episode, so.
Okay, well, let's get to our second round. So, Kevin, what's your pick?
So, I was looking for an episode with a goodbye where someone leaves on their own terms. And I think the best example of that is the second last episode of the series, Preemptive Strike. And this is both the return and the goodbye of Ro Laren. She is so conflicted about leaving because she doesn't want to let Picard down. He's her mentor. He's her trusted advisor. But her own moral code and her own sympathies are forcing her into a direction which she knows are going to disappoint him. And the end of that episode, when Riker gives his report to Picard and Picard won't even look at it because she's disappointed him so much, is a bit heart-wrenching. But in the end, you know that Ro has done the right thing for her. And I think that, that makes this a very sort of powerful goodbye. You know, she turns a phaser on Riker and, you know, he's one of our heroes. We've been with him for 7 years and we've grown to love Ro, but she's doing what's best for her. And it's a very powerful and emotional and just, I think, a perfect send off for that character.
That's a great pick and a great episode. I thought of that one as well. She's just amazing in that episode and her conflict and choosing, you know, who's she going to let down, Picard or her people?
Well, some of us have grown to love
her. That's what I was going to say, too.
I'm not a big fan of Ro Laren, so that one didn't pop into my mind. But that is a great pick. And that choice of her letting Picard down, oh, it's so heartbreaking. But you know she's doing it, like you said, Rhea, for her people. And she's doing what she thinks is best. So that is a good goodbye.
I was very happy to see her go. I felt like her entire character was on the fence. Like, she needed to pick one, right? Like, is she going to be a Bajoran rebel or not, or be in Starfleet? And she needed to decide. I feel like there was way too much on the fence with that character of, I'm going to be in Starfleet, but I'm not really going to be in Starfleet, and I'm not going to follow all the rules, and she needed to go.
You're right. For me, it was less of a goodbye and more of a good riddance. Sorry, Kevin. I think, you know that 3x3 diagram you get with, like, lawful good, chaotic good, chaotic evil, that kind of thing. She's on the side of the goodies because she's part of Starfleet and she's Bajoran. But she's chaotic, and I think that's why I don't necessarily kind of like her all that much. Possibly. But yeah, it's good, a good pick.
We're going to get a bunch of hate mail from Justin Ozer, our previous host. He loves Ro.
I wonder where that email is going to go. It's like...
Yes. All right, Rhea.
All right, well, Miss Rhea, Debbie Downer, the pack lead, has a goodbye that turns into a hello. There's no death involved here. And this one is in Parallels. And when wife Troy and Worf say goodbye to each other there at the end, of course, Troy is concerned that her Worf won't return, her husband and the father of their two children. Of course, Worf is oddly concerned about Alexander at that point, which is another topic. But anyway, so they've got the scene in their quarters where they have that discussion, where they kind of say goodbye. And then they're in the shuttle bay before Worf leaves. You know, they say goodbye. They've got a hug. Oh, and a kiss. Oh. And then a glance. Oh. And then... when Worf gets back to his proper universe and Troy greets him there in his quarters, he invites her to dinner and then orders champagne. And then Troy's expressions and, you know that she's sensing something going on there. So, you know, that what could have been a very painful goodbye turned into a hello.
I love this pick, Rhea, of course, because I like Troy and Worf. But you're right with wife and mother Troy saying goodbye to husband, father, Worf. Is a great, great goodbye. Oh, I'm so glad you chose that one.
I know it's the 24th century, so there's probably no rules surrounding it, but I wonder if Troy took, or Deanna took, Worf's surname.
I hope not.
Like Mrs. Deanna, son of Moog.
Yeah.
Right, like, I don't think Klingons do those kind of things. Cause
no, probably not.
What are you now? She is Diana, daughter-in-law of Moog?
Nope, he's Worf Troy.
Worf Troy, yeah.
Worf, son of Luoxana.
House of Beta Zed, fifth rings sacred chalice, and blah, blah, blah.
The Holy Rings of Beta Zed, the Chalice of Reeks, daughter of the fifth house.
Yes.
I think that's it, in some order. Cool.
All right, Pierre.
All right, so
hit us with your second pick.
Since we're really sad, I'm going to skip over my second pick and use my third pick, and then my second pick can become my honorable mention if we get to that. But so this is not as sad. I'm going to read some quotes, and you guys can try to see where it's from. Nothing I can say or do will ever make you happy, or sad, or touch you in any way. That is a vital prediction. It is apparent that my reach has extended my grasp in this particular area. We are no longer a couple. Now, no, we are not. Then I will delete the program appropriately.
Data saying goodbye to his girlfriend, breaking up with her. By a toaster.
Jenna DeSora.
Yes, Jenna DeSora. But like, Data's just like, all right, I'll delete you.
That's pretty cold.
Yeah, what was the name of that episode?
In Theory.
In Theory.
Is the one we got to say goodbye to the woman that half fell through the floor. We got to say goodbye to her, like, from the waist down.
Oh, I forgot about that in that episode.
Yeah, that is a... great pick. I totally didn't even think about that. But, you know, Data saying goodbye is equivalent to deleting a program.
That's really, yes.
I'm going to have to remember. Yeah, I'm going to have to pull out that line at my divorce trial.
That'd be really...
I have deleted you from my memory.
I will delete the appropriate application now.
But I don't think that would be something Data would do, to delete an experience.
But he says he does, though. Like, that was... it. You're right, Joe. It was very un-data-like.
Yeah.
I wondered if he meant that he was just deleting the designation boyfriend, right? Like, the experiences would still be there, but I'm sure he has a whole set of subroutines about how he refers to himself, and if one of them is Jenna's boyfriend, that one just gets erased.
Okay, so
yeah,
it was...
quit running the application.
Yeah, he was updating his internal Facebook relationship status. Yeah, okay.
Data is no longer in a relationship. Do you think there's Facebook on the Enterprise? There's got to be some kind of social network on the Enterprise, doesn't there?
Yeah, there's a lot of people on there.
Isn't the whole computer a social network, sort of? It can tell you where anyone is at any point.
And they're all on it.
This is true.
Good for stalking.
Yes, computer. What is the location of Joe Keegan?
Yeah. Joe Keegan is currently hiding from Amy Nelson.
All right, Joe, give us your second pick.
Okay, do you know what? I think, I don't know, I've got a weird corrupt brain. So I chose another death one. Sorry. And it has to be, if I can find the tab...
Well, the listeners are used to it because you're used to killing off all the characters.
The people
so
I don't like. So it has to be from The Child when Deanna Troi is saying goodbye to Ian. Yes, which is it's really tough. So basically, there's something wrong with the Enterprise. There's radiation and it's damaging the ship. And it turns out that Ian, who is Deanna Troi's son, who was born like 2 days before, and he's now 11 years old. He's an energy being, and he basically wants to experience what it is to be alive and be human. So he basically, in a weird kind of scene, he enters Deanna while she's asleep, and she becomes pregnant and gets born. And at the end, he realizes that he's the source of the radiation and has to leave now. And she's getting increasingly frantic that her son's going to die. Dr. Pulaski is the chief medical officer at this point and can't save him. And ultimately, he dies and passes away, then reverts back into his energy form and leaves the ship. But not before saying goodbye and to Deanna in the form of... He comes up to her and she holds this energy, this light in her hands, and then she's okay. It's quite a poignant, touching goodbye.
And for finger quotes Ian, I guess it's the death of his human Beta Z manifestation, but he still lives as his energy being, and I think that probably brought Troy some comfort.
Yeah, I think you're right, Rhea, because she gets to, yeah, have that goodbye and know that he will continue and that he had this experience and that she was a part of that experience. You know, he chose her to be the mother and, you know, to have this amazing opportunity to learn about what it is to be human and to interact. And so, yeah, I can't stay here, so I'm going to go on. And again, just sort of Troy saying, all right, goodbye, I love you, and go out and do your thing. It's a very good goodbye.
In a lot of ways, it's a lot like Data and Lol. You know, a child is created, they stay for a little while, and then they're gone. I mean, this one wasn't of Deanna's choice, but she grew to love him, and I'm sure he's always a part of her. So, there's a bit of a parallel there.
I was going to say something about something. Oh, yeah, I was going to say something about Troy. And that she discovers that her older sister drowned. And then she loses Ian. Her father's already dead. And then in Picard, we discover that she's lost another son. So that's a harsh life, isn't it?
Yeah, we realize how resilient Deanna is throughout the course of TNG, where she goes through a lot of things and she keeps moving forward. You know, she really does. Like, even just the fact that she was having a child here, which she was like, oh, okay. But then, as we said, she grew to love that child and, you know, kept moving forward and doing what was right for the child, standing up for the child. She's really a very strong person on the crew.
Yeah, that's a great example. Life can throw you a total curveball, like, oh, hey, here's a child, you know, and to change your life and just pivot on the spot, and now you're taking care of this other being and doing what's right by this other being that you never asked for, that just appeared out of the blue, and now... And then he's gone, and then you go back to normal, I guess. But forget about it by next week.
Yeah, episodic TV, yeah.
Yeah.
Amy, what's your second pick?
Well, my second pick is we get to say goodbye actually a couple times, and that is to our beloved Tasha Yar. So in Skin of Evil, she, you know, Armus takes her life, but... she's in defense. She just leaps and she's acting and she's, you know, protecting her crew and is, you know, wanting what's best and is there, you know, as security officer, and she's gone. And what I like about that sort of is the callback that we get in Measure of Man with him holding the hologram of Tasha. And I love, love, love that, because it's again sort of another reminder of a goodbye. I mean, they have a service for her in Skin of Evil, and that's good. And I love that goodbye, but I love the callback in Measure of a Man. Actually, that to me is more memorable than the service that they had for Tasha in Skin of Evil. And we get also to say goodbye to Tasha in Yesterday's Enterprise, where she chooses to go back to the Enterprise C. And again, as security officer, she, you know, she knows she's not supposed to be in this timeline. And so she's going to go back to the Enterprise C and be that security officer and to defend what she knows is right, Starfleet and the Federation. And I think her making those choices in that as an example of who she is and that character that she has. And so saying goodbye to her, I think is sad. And we get to see a little bit in All Good Things, you know, at the end, because we're going back and we see, you know, the first little bit with Tasha there. But I like that Tasha, even though we said goodbye to her twice, is still sort of in the mix of things. And again, that callback measure of a man is just one of my favorite goodbyes.
Yeah, that's twice where she gives up her life in the line of duty, where she, you know, what they say, no greater love has someone than to give up his life for his friends. And she does it twice.
Yeah, how do you come to that realization, though? Guinan tells her, you're not meant to be here. How does she then decide, oh, I'm not supposed to be here, where I think I've been here for my entire life, to then go and potentially know that you're going to die on this other ship when you go back to the through the time portal, back to the battle?
Because she thinks Shooter McGavin's cute.
Yeah.
Makes it a little easier.
I never really understood that part either, Joe, where one is to get to the understanding that maybe you're not supposed to be there. The other is I never understood why then the answer or the answer was to send her back to with the C, right? With the Enterprise C. I never got that. I never understood why that would make sense, you know, in protecting the timeline and things like that. And then we find out that we really didn't protect the timeline and things didn't work out at all for the Federation. But yeah, it never made sense to me where just that whole scenario.
Do you ever have those moments in your life where you have like a major life decision and you have, I mean, it's a major life decision, but you know what to do. You just know. There's like a gut feeling. You know when it's time to leave this job or, you know, file for divorce or move town or whatever. That's always what I, in my kind of headcanon, chalked it up to. She just, between what Guinan had told her, and she just had this gut feeling and she just knew, no, this is what I need to do.
She's another strong woman who, like Ro, had to, you know, go with her gut, and her gut said it was her time to go. And so she went, and we got to say goodbye to her. We got to say a proper goodbye to her in yesterday's Enterprise, right? It never felt fair in Skin of Evil. And so we got to see a kick-ass Tasha doing her job well, and we got to say a proper goodbye to her in yesterday's Enterprise, which is lovely. And only on a show like Star Trek can you do something like that.
Okay, guys, let's get to any final thoughts.
Let's do it really quickly. Like, don't go into detail, really just mention the person in the episode. Like, remember we did it a while back and we just kept on going round and as fast as we could until we ran out.
Oh, okay. So speed round.
Okay, yes.
Is that
yes,
what you're saying?
That's okay. The word.
Okay.
Kevin?
Well, I only have one, and I really couldn't come up with why it was a goodbye, but there's an episode called The Big Goodbye, and I don't even know who we say goodbye to in that one, so I'm just going to say
up.
The Big Goodbye.
Rhea?
Scotty, Relics.
Aww. Pierre?
We'll always have Paris. Janice. Mihai.
Cito Jaxa, Lower Decks.
Oh.
Amy?
Data in Nemesis.
Rhea.
Robert Picard, family.
Mm. Kevin?
I'm out.
Oh, pass. You're out. Okay. Pierre?
I'm out.
Oh, the poker game in All Good Things. Captain Picard goes in to say I should have done this 7 years ago. Amy?
That was going to be my final thought.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Delete it. You're editing.
Oh, I had one, but I forgot. So, yeah, I'm out. Rhea?
Captain Dathan, Darmok.
Oh. Joe?
the planet Catan from The Inner Light.
Oh, you guys are doing and good just, goodbyes. That's awesome.
The Traveler.
Rhea?
The Traveler from Encounter at Farpoint.
Oh, I got one.
I thought about that.
Wesley in the
Journey's End.
The Native American one?
No. The where he's going and Picard.
The Final Mission?
Yeah, Final Mission.
Nick Locarno.
Yeah. I also had Timison in Half a Life, and I thought about Armus from Skin of Evil.
Nagilum, the space creature.
Good riddance for him.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of one-off characters and then that, now.
Yeah, I know. Every one-off character that we know.
The creepy Betazoid that Troy had mentored in the one with
Tin Man.
The alien.
Tin Man.
Yes. Oh, that's a good one.
Yes.
Oh, and who was the woman from the just warp-capable planet who said goodbye to her old society and left on the Enterprise?
Marissa Yale.
Yeah. She said goodbye to her whole society.
The Masterpiece Society where Troy leaves her guy that she's in love with. I forget his name, but
and
I know the episode.
Riker and his androgynous friend in the one episode whose title I'm forgetting.
It's
what was that called?
The Outcast.
The Outcast. Yes.
Our Second Chances, Thomas Riker.
I thought about that one too. And Riker's dad.
Oh, Kyle.
In the Riker
dad.
Dad episode.
The Riker's dad, yeah. In that episode of the same name.
Yes. Riker's dad and Pulaski.
Oh. Okay.
Anyway.
I think we're done.
Okay.
Exhausted the list.
All right. Excellent speed round. Listeners, let us know of any other memorable goodbyes that you might have that we haven't mentioned. All right, final thoughts.
Well, goodbyes are part of life. And like the series says, all good things. And it's part of life. And it's nice when you get a good goodbye.
It might be the goodbye from us five on Earl Grey, but we're all still alive. Do you know what I mean? If you have enjoyed listening to us here, we might pop up somewhere in the future and you might be able to listen to his podcast again. So, yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah, as you might not realize from all of the goodbyes we chose, we're not dying. We're still alive and around. We still love Star Trek, so you might pop up again. I think Joe just died.
Oh. Someone call 999.
It was just
999. Well done. That is 999 here.
Thank you.
Hello, goodbye. Hello, goodbye. I don't know why you say goodbye. I say hello. And I meant to just change keys there.
That's,
but
that's good. That's nice.
Like the Beatles said, goodbye is a hello.
Yeah. And, you know, since Joe mentioned all good things, that is, in my opinion, the best goodbye to a series. Absolutely the best episode to end. And it's, I think, ends with everyone together. And for here on this episode, we are all together and we are ending. I think we're going out on a high note. I think we have done some amazing episodes and had some amazing discussions on Earl Grey about a show that we all love. And I think that's very evident. And again, we thank the listeners for communicating with us and listening and subscribing. And I believe that you will get to hear us, you know, again, if you follow us on social media, but just not drinking our Earl Grey. Well, it's been somber today saying our goodbyes, but that isn't the only thing we've been talking about here on the network. Here's what you might have missed elsewhere on Trek FM.
Previously on Trek.fm, Earl Grey.
I tap dance with my eyes. That's what I tell people.
I don't look at my feet, just look at my eyes and my jazz hands.
As long as I'm looking like I'm having a good time, I'm dancing.
That's the most important part.
Yeah. Just follow the top hat and the cane. Just don't look at my feet.
If the rhythm is right and my eyes are smiling, all is good.
Cosplay ideas. Cosplay ideas.
The Edge, a Star Trek Discovery podcast.
Okay, I was just going to say, I just appreciate that we're seeing these dramatic makeup jobs and prosthetic jobs, because let's do a little forehead thing and call it an alien, because it got really old in Next Generation. And in the original series. The original series, you can kind of forgive because of the budgetary restraints. But with TNG, it's just like, really? Another little forehead thing, or a little thing, you know, at the bridge of the nose between the eyes? Really? Really? Come on.
Well, it got really tiring in Voyager, too.
The Line, a Star Trek Picard podcast.
Like you're saying about JL, I remember at the time reading this, Rafi calling him JL, and I remember that feeling weird to me. Like you, the first time it was in the comic, and then I was like, JL, that's kind of casual. But like you said, she kind of talks to that. But now rereading it, when I got to that, it just makes so much sense because I'm used to it now. It just seems so natural. But at the time, it felt a little odd.
The Ready Room.
Do you think that if Picard were being made, if we could go back to the golden age of TNG, DS9, Voyager, Enterprise?
We call it the Berman era, Chris. Okay.
Oh, is it the Berman era? It's BE. Okay. Yeah, if we can go back to 1996 BE.
Yeah.
When we had 2-hour pilots for Star Trek series, do you think that these three episodes, Remembrance, Maps and Legends, and The End is the Beginning, would have actually been a single episode?
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on iPhone, iPad, or Apple TV, or the desktop Apple Podcasts app to get the latest episodes as soon as they are published. And please leave us a star rating and written review that helps others to find the show.
If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, YouTube, and most third-party apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best place to join in the larger conference is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it should come right up.
If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose to send to a show and select Earl Grey. That will come right to us, and we might read your email on the show.
Well,
no, we won't.
We won't, but maybe future hosts might.
You can always find the network on Twitter and Instagram at TrekFM, and on Facebook at facebook.com/TrekFM.
If you'd like to help us keep all our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/TrekFM. That's patreon.com/TrekFM to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more available through our special patrons website, Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/TrekFM.
We'd like to take this opportunity to recognize our current associate producers, Norman Lau, Michael Huter, Thomas Appel, Chris Tribuzio, Jim McMahon, Justin Ozer, and Joe Keegan. Thank you for supporting Trek FM, and especially Earl Grey.
So we've enjoyed sharing our Earl Grey with you.
Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at close of day. Rage, rage against the dying of the light.
I did it for nothing. My home, my family. For nothing. Just kidding. I did it all for you guys, and I love you.
Hailing frequencies closed.
Energize.
And my last great joy and gratitude. Okay, well, let's get to our main discussion.
Could we pause for 2 seconds? Cooper won't stop crying, and I've been clapping him constantly. My arm's going to break, so I'm going to put him in the car until we're finished. He'll be fine.
I don't think that's legal.
It's fine.
The window's down.
I put dog mode on, so my car's got dog mode, so it's fine.
I didn't know there was such a thing.
It's
for when you...
I didn't know dogs were allowed to drive in Scotland.
So when you go to the...
Only if they're wearing a kilt.
It's for when you go to the shops and like, people see dogs in cars and break the windows to save the dogs. That's okay to keep the AC on at like 19 degrees and also display a picture on the screen saying, hi, my owner's in the shops, but I'm quite comfortable, thanks. So.
Wow.
That is such a European thing.
Right. It's a Tesla thing?
Yeah, Tesla. Oh, it's a Tesla. Smart car.
So it's an American thing? Mm-hmm. Right, 2 minutes.
Yeah, oh, Tesla's an American car?
Mm-hmm. Tesla? Yeah.
California.
Oh, I thought it was a European car.
No.
Anyway, on my drive home from work on Thursday, I saw something great and hilarious.
What?
I saw a car with a bumper sticker that was pretty... I don't know, forceful. And it said, only buy American. And that bumper...
Was it a Toyota?
You bet it was.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's funny.
Well, a lot of them are made in the U.S. But he was only... quick comment before I forget. On the email from Christian, should we just read his last name as Christian Alonso?
He signed it Christian Jewell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's fine either way.
Just at that.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Just want to make sure.
Pierre, I think that bumper sticker was only referring to cheese.
Oh, which is not even cheese. I'm sorry, if it's pasteurized, don't get the Greek started on the cheese. No, because no, this is not cheese. Kraft American singles. Yeah, I like plastic on my...
You put the headphones on,
that's it.
There you go.
Hi, Jetsia.
Bye.
Quick, take the photo.
Well, okay.
Right. Sorry, guys. Oh, he's watching me from the car.
Okay.